am. This meeting is open to the public and we will be recording. Please make sure your Zoom name matches your first and last name. We ask for all commissioners to have their cameras on if they are able to do so during the meeting. If you need to step away, please let us know so we can make sure we maintain quorum. If you get disconnected, please rejoin or call into the Zoom meeting. Staff and presenters may turn their cameras on when they are presenting and speaking. Members of the public should keep their cameras off for the whole meeting. We will start by taking roll. Please provide your name and roll. I will go first. My name is Dr. Commissioner Wiley, and I am the chair. I'll now call on Commissioner Mado.
Oh, I can unmute now. Okay, Commissioner Madole.
Commissioner Alder Pritchett. You're muted. But I read your lips, but you were muted.
Joanne Pritchett.
Commissioner Alder Vandermeulen. You're muted.
Sorry, working out of Commissioner Nikki Vandermeulen, Board Commissioner.
Commissioner Collin.
Kathleen Callan, Commissioner.
Commissioner Wutzling.
Kristen Wutzling, Commissioner.
Commissioner Maki.
Commissioner Brett Mackey.
Commissioner Edmonds Estes.
Commissioner Edmonds Estes present.
All right, I do believe that I have called on all of our commissioners. Okay.
Thank you, Miss
Yes, did I
Becca.
miss? Commissioner Becca, I do apologize.
That's
Oh,
okay.
Becca.
Commissioner Becca Back present.
Thank you. All right.
The volume went way down. I can't hear any of you.
Uh-oh. I'll check my volume. Yeah, mine's just not up all the way. There we go. Okay, let's review
For me, that's just
the
not.
minutes. Can you hear?
This is Melissa. I can hear you. Fine.
I'm gonna come leave and then come back in.
Okay.
Okay. So then we have to wait for quorum, correct? We have seven.
Nope, we still have
Nope,
quorum.
we're good. Okay.
So go ahead.
Thank you. All right, let's review the May 29th, 2025 minutes.
Can you all see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. And that is the end.
Okay. Are there any amendments to the meeting? None. All right. We'll move on. We will move on to line item 88840, public comment. We welcome public comments and reserve a portion of the agenda for people who are registered to speak. Do we have any speakers? Yes, Giselle. I see your hands up. Yes.
Yes, thank you. I think we just missed a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Or is there none opposed?
So motioned.
A motion All right. All in
I
favor? None
second.
opposed?
Aye.
Second. Aye. All right. Thank you. We will move on to line item 88840, public comment. Do we have any registered speakers?
No public comment tonight.
Thank you. We will move on to any disclosures and recusals. Any at this time?
I don't have a disclosure recusal, but Rebecca, is this the point where I'm telling people I'm going to be the I'm going to keep us on track. That is my support as a co-chair, is to keep us on track of the agenda, because I love all everyone's passion and their desires for disability rights. So just letting everybody, giving them heads up.
Yay, and thank you, Commissioner Maudal. You complete us. Thank you. Do we have any public comments, Giselle or Rebecca?
No public comment tonight.
Okay, we will move on to new business discussion item line 88841, Community Alternative Response Emergency Services, our CARES team. We welcome you. Take it away. Yes.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Becker. I'm the division chief of the Madison Fire Department that oversees our CARES team. And just want to give you an update of our CARES team and where we are at this time. Since our program started in September 1st of 2021, we are up to 9,653 calls. So we are excited that we are on pace to reach our 10,000 calls probably around the end of July. We plan to do a little bit of a media push and a bit of a celebration for that. We have 5,972 individuals that we have served by the CARES team. And right now, our CARES team is averaging about 10.6 calls per day so far in 2025. So that's a steady incline of calls, daily calls. As you may or may not be aware of, our CARES team consists of three teams that are on the streets every day, Monday through Friday, with the first team starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. CARES 2 starts at 10, and CARES 3 starts at noon. We have one team that works weekends and holidays, and we began expanded service into Sun Prairie on February 4th of 2025. We weren't quite sure what kind of a load that would provide for our teams without expanding the teams, but it has been very manageable. So far, CARES has gone into Sun Prairie 29 times since February. Our requests have picked up a little this last month. I think as more awareness grows, we work out the system-wide kinks and things like that. Last month, we went to 14 calls in May and June, so it's definitely picked up. Both Sun Prairie PD and Sun Prairie Fire have the ability to request CARES. I'd say oftentimes times it does come through PD, but Fire is now requesting CARES on particular incidents as well. We are working on a public dashboard that isn't quite up and running, but it is really close. So I foresee in the next month or two, we'll have a public dashboard up where people can go on and get some more data and statistics about our CARES team, where we're responding, things like that. And I'm also excited to announce that we're going to be getting new CARES vehicles. Right now, we're using older fire department vehicles, more like four-door kind of Explorer type vehicles, and we're going to vans. So we're hoping to have our first van in service. I'm hoping September 1st. There's been a lot of planning in the background for that. Went up to Appleton a couple weeks ago to take a look at the vans. They are in the state now. They're just retrofitting the inside of the vans to our needs. And hopefully, we'll have all of those out on the streets by the end of the year. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Commissioner Van de Mueller, Alder. Muted.
Okay. Yes, one, excellent work. Absolutely love the CARES team. But my second question is, with the cuts to the 988 and the LGBTQ suicide hotline, how is that going to affect the funding or not affect our funding?
Yeah, we are, always careful to, observe the cuts and especially grant funded things. But at this point, I don't think it will directly affect the CARES program and how we operate. We are extremely disappointed by the 911 cuts in particular because they were fast going to have crisis workers in dispatch that would have really helped manage our CARES call volume and done some quick mediation of some calls from the dispatch versus our CARES teams responding. But at this point, we don't think it'll affect CARES operations at all.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a quickie question.
Yes.
Have you been able to pretty much develop a summary of calls that you've received and know pretty much what the categories are for those who request CARES?
Yeah, we hired a data analyst last fall. And so we have a much better picture of where we're responding to, where we're taking these clients to. So we have a much better picture. We're also in the process of, thanks to the help of Dane County Communication Center, trying to mark when CARES maybe is not available and there's a CARES appropriate call that comes into the city. So afternoon is very high volume for us. And so we want to capture expansion. Obviously, we don't have any immediate plans now, but we want to know when there's more CARES eligible calls and we don't have the staff to capture those. So all of that data is very closely captured now, thanks to our data analyst, Dan Petty. He came from Tucson, Arizona. He did something very similar out to there with the Tucson Fire Department. He's also very heavily involved in our meetings, trying to capture people that we see on a frequent basis and talking with the team. We had a big meeting today for 2 hours. People that we see often, how we can maybe best manage their needs a little bit better with the resources that we have in our community.
And the second part of that question is, are there times when you refer individuals for additional care? And if
Oh,
so,
go ahead.
where is the greatest need that you've been able to determine?
So I would say one of our biggest things we do with CARES is referrals. Not just transport, but trying to get them connected to additional resources. And I think it really, really helps that half our team is connected to Journey Mental Health and they are really tied in to all the mental health resources in the area. As far as the greatest need, whew, that is a really tough question. Boy. I don't even know where I begin, honestly. I mean, certainly housing is always an issue. I think another issue that sometimes our CARES team struggles with is getting the individuals to accept the help and get them to the resource that they need. There's several of them that they'll try to transport them somewhere, and as soon as they get there, they'll leave, things like that. So, or getting them on their medications and stuff like that. So trying to not only hook them to the resources, but get them to comply and follow through and hopefully get the care that they need. But yeah, I would have to really crunch the data to see. It just seems like it's across the board. Housing, getting connected to the right resources, things like that. We also have a fair amount of needs that come from other counties. So we had a case on Monday. Individuals from Rock County was in Madison, was connected to resources in Rock County, but how do we get that individual back to Rock County where they have the resources waiting for them? So things like that, transportation, logistics, things like that.
Thank
Any
you,
other?
Commissioner Mackey, for the time. We want to be cognizant of our time and other speakers.
Yeah.
If that's yes. Brett, you have a question?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were going on me. What exactly does the CARES team do? I mean, I know I've heard of them, but I don't really know exactly what they do.
Well, that's a great question. So they are a part of the fire department. They respond in fire department vehicles, and their main job is to go to behavior health emergencies. And with the goal of A, trying to divert these patients from emergency departments and divert them from any jails or the criminal system. So they have a lot of flexibility to transport them to detox or the beacon or whatever, wherever else they need. But they're just kind of another arm of not police, not quite EMS, but more behavior health, mental health emergency specifically.
Okay,
Thank you.
thank you for the
Commissioner
clarification. You're
Van
welcome.
der Meulen, I know your hand was up and then your call dropped. Did you have a question? And then I see Commissioner Mardall. You're muted, Nikki. Can't hear you. Okay, we'll come back to you. Commissioner Mardall.
My internet keeps going in and out, so I'm just having my camera off for now. See if that helps. But I just wanted to thank Lisa for being here and giving us an overview and all the efforts that her and her team provide.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Commissioner Collin. Oh, Nikki, Commissioner Van der Mueller, you're unmuted now. I see you. Yes.
I forgot to lower my hand. I apologize.
No worries. Commissioner Collin.
Thank you. I was just curious about, and maybe this is just really information so that I can be a better explained here, and the options and services provided. Could you just talk a little bit about how the teams are trained or how they can reply to when they encounter someone who has, especially I'm thinking of communications. I know sometimes there's fear if they're, I don't want to bother call or finding someone if, you know, the person in question is deaf or blind or different languages and things like that. I could you just kind of give maybe a little bit of a some talking points there that I could share.
Yeah, that's a good question. A thing I didn't mention too is that CARES strictly goes through the 911 center, and we will get people that strictly call 911. They say they want the CARES team. That's great, but they'll still do their triage at the comm center to decide is this truly a CARES appropriate call, and then. The team is comprised of one Madison Fire Department paramedic that has the skills to do like physical assessments, determine maybe it's a more of a low blood sugar level, check vital signs, things like that. And then if they determine that, you know, it's potentially an overdose or a stroke or something more critical, they'll call the paramedics and they'll be transported by a paramedic of two people on an ambulance. And then the other team, important team member is a member of the Journey Mental Health team. They're trained in crisis prevention work. They can do mental health assessments on scene, determine, if is this emergency detention? Can we do some sort of if it's suicide, determine if we can do some suicide prevention things on scene, or how serious it is. So we kind of got the mental health, medical going on at the same time. With that being said, because they're a city agency, they have all the tools that the city workers have as far as the language line and things like that to help them communicate in those situations where there might be a void in communication skills.
Thank you. We will now move on to line item 88842, Office of the Independent Monitor.
Thank you again, Lisa.
Hi, my name is Robin Copley. I use they, them, and she, her pronouns. I'm a Caucasian trans person with blonde hair and light skin. I am wearing a black and brown top. Hello, everyone. I am representing the Office of the Independent Monitor. And just to kind of jump right into essentially like what our office does. You may be familiar with internal affairs within the police department, and you may be familiar with the Police and Fire Commission. So, what internal affairs and police fire commission are measuring officer conduct bit off of is something called a standard operating procedure and a code of conduct, and there's several training best practices and such. Those are the things that this office actually reviews and makes policy recommendations on. We work closely with the Police Civilian Oversight Board. In fact, that's who the office directly answers to. The Police Civilian Oversight Board is made up of representatives from local community organizations, and the goal of that board, as well as the office, is to ensure that policing policies within Madison serve the entire community, and that we can work together to make policing better, equitable, and to make sure that the community's voice is heard as far as any kind of policy changes or recommendations or suggestions. General, like as far as the actual tasks of the office and like what the day-to-day looks like, there's only three people within the department. So really like there's three pillars, I guess you could say, as far as like our work. Our office manager, Chioma Njoku, is she handles our community engagement and like coordination with the board. We hold monthly community listening sessions where I'm available to any members of the public that wish to join and share their experiences, as well as we also have our data analyst, Dr. Greg Golembek, who assists us with database investigations so that we can review the effects of the department at the department-wide level. And then finally, there's myself, the independent monitor, who handles individual investigations of specific policies and conduct. I do want to stress that like we are not specifically just the complaint department. We are always looking for anything that shows good policing as well. Just generally, like we also serve as a whistleblower, for MPD as well. So, like officers can come to us if they're observing any inequitable practices within the department itself. Generally, we are a very new office. In fact, we were only finally fully staffed at the end of last year, but we released our first annual report earlier this year, and I think a particular item that might interest the commission is a focus on the protection of wearing masks at public protests. This is not just for the immediate and often repeated talking point concerning the privacy of protesters, but also to ensure that disabled persons are able to, or immunocompromised persons are able to attend these protests and exercise their First Amendment rights as well. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Yes.
Commissioner Maddow,
Thank you, Robin, for coming and let us know about what you guys do, because I was clueless. So I really appreciate the information. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
There any other questions? No? All right. Well, thank you. We will move on to line item 88843, Metro Ride Along Meeting Update. Is our speaker not here?
Our speakers are
Oh, sorry.
Melissa and Lynn.
Check my,
I
I'm like,
was
I need to
not
check
paying
my
attention.
notes. That's
Yeah,
all
I
right. I
was
was
not paying
like, my
attention.
notes.
So, if Lynn's okay with it, I'll just speak for both of us. And if I miss something, Lynn, please jump in after. I found it to be very productive. It was nice having the ear of Mick, which you guys all know, marketing. And then there was a two other guys. One was a bus trainer and the other one was just hired for customer service. And after meeting ride along, then we sent a list of outline things that we discussed to continue discussing. And I haven't harassed Mick yet, so that's on my project for tomorrow, one of my list of things to do. So to follow up with him, and just sounds like it's going to be an ongoing conversation.
Thank you. Any questions? Follow up? None? Lynn, Commissioner Olson?
Can I jump in here for a second?
Yes.
I'm on a bus.
Cool beans.
But I wanted to say, really happy to have had that experience with Melissa, Commissioner Madol, and we really cut through some heavy duty conversations that needed to happen on a very grassroots level, like on the spot. And I don't think Melissa gave herself any credit for arranging it and, lassoing these guys to come out there, because they literally saw stuff that we have been talking to them about, in private, not private, but through regular comment channels, that we've not gotten any responses from them about safety issues, et cetera. And so this was a chance for them. It seemed like it was really eye-opening for them. And I'm really hoping that they take, we gave them, if you'd like to see the information that we sent, I'm sure Melissa is happy, are you not, to share that? Because it was pretty good stuff. And I think you should be happy that Melissa got that going. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Olson. Commissioner Modal, yes.
Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate that. And as far as sharing what I shared with them, I'd prefer, I mean, I don't have anything to hide. I can send it out to Rebecca to disseminate to you guys. And if you have anything you want to add to it, fine. But I'd rather just continue to work in-house with them and just check off those lists that we came up with.
Well, thank you. We will move on to line item 80509, future topics, City of Madison.
So I will just kick us off with letting folks know what we have in the queue. So next month, we will have the author of the news article about subminimum wage employment that was in the Cap Times last month, earlier this month. My timeline's a little funky. Join us to talk about her research. There's also a transportation equity update from Metro. And then we received a referral from the Common Council related to a code of conduct revision that'll come to the commission. And then other upcoming topics are emergency planning, streets and snow removal. Exploring long-term care pilot projects in Madison, and developing a best practices guide for new projects and initiatives. So if there's other future topics to add to the list, let me know and I will add them now.
Rebecca, correct me if I'm wrong, but you would want to be to speak on the long-term care pilot stuff, right?
Yep, you'll be the one I'll reach out to when we get that on the agenda.
Okay.
Right. If anything comes up between meetings, feel free to send me an email, and I will add it to our list.
Thank you, Rebecca. All right, we will move on to our reports. Line item 62729, report from the Common Council. Alder Pritchett. Who will be giving that? Yes. Commissioner Pritchett?
Yes, ma'am. That is Miss Pritchett.
No report.
No report? All right, we will move on. Thank you. Any questions? If there are no questions. Oh, Commissioner Maldo.
I have a question. Did you guys not meet in the time that we had our last meeting, or just nothing that really fancy that you think that we need to know about?
Is that for me?
Yes, ma'am.
The only thing that came up deals primarily with the BRT, and with that there's one station in particular at the Mineral Point High Point station where the arrival and departure board has been out since December. And so far, there's no fix for it. So, in talking to BRT individuals, apparently they are planning to sue the company that makes the signages. And it's been going back and forth with no resolution in sight. The only thing that what I did was to suggest to them, as to given that a person who arrives at the BRT station and they could look at the board and tell, when the bus is expected to come and when it's expected to leave. So since there's nothing there, the one thing that I think they should do is to improvise and to put, you can have a laminated a signage board there that at least gives someone an approximation as to when a bus would come. I'm not saying the exact time, but I am saying, given the weather that we've had, especially in the extremes, to sat in that station, and it can be awfully hot. So if you don't know when the bus is coming, you don't know this or that, then put a sign there, laminate a sign in large lettering to make sure that people have some idea as to what's when the bus is going to come. But so far, no action has been taken on it.
Thank you for sharing that because that does pertain to us and well everybody and but especially people with disabilities.
Yes.
I will welcome you to send me any complaints about the BRT and I'll bring it to Vic's door. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right. We will move on to line item 88395, Transportation Commission Liaison. Yes, Commissioner Maldol.
That is Lynn, and she just popped off. So I don't know if it just got off the bus. Can we make a motion to put that down
I will
further?
entertain a motion. Absolutely.
So I'd like to say a motion to
Sarah.
bring it back up when she comes back on. Can we do that, Rebecca?
You can. You just need a
Yes, I.
second, and
Yes, I.
this is
can I get a
Kathleen. I
second?
second.
All
Thank you,
right. All
Kathleen.
in favor? None opposed? All right. We will circle back to that when she comes back. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to line item 88396, Beyond Compliance Subcommittee Liaison Report.
That's moi. And again, Melissa, and I did not attend the last meeting, but I was told that they continued to go down the list of ideas of things to concentrate on and make the project. And then I scheduled another postcard delivery to some of the street eatery programs and to ask them some follow-up questions with another member who is a part of the Beyond Compliance Subcommittee. So we're doing that tomorrow around the Capitol. And then we have to schedule another date to go down State Street.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Commissioner Olson, we are going to go back to your report. Line item 88395, Transportation Commission Liaison. Are you ready?
As she gone. Oh, there
Yeah,
she
there
is.
you
Oh,
are.
please.
Yes, lovely.
Miss Lynn, you are muted.
Yes.
Finally, I got it. God. God, is this being recorded? Anyway, I've been on a hike all day and forgot. I'm sorry what the time was. My sincere apologies for being late and for not having something together for you. But last night was a really good meeting for the Transportation Commission. And I can't really remember it, but I wanted to. And now I've forgotten what it was, but it was important. It was so important. And I was there and I heard it and it was great. So when I remember that, once I get my head together, because I just walked into my house,
Can I
I
help
will.
a little, Lynn? Since
Yes,
I was
thank you.
there,
Oh my
thanks.
gosh, wait a second. Oh, let me, can I add one thing? Rebecca was fabulous at that meeting last night, and we should all be so grateful that we have her in our clutch. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca.
Lynn, there was a presentation about the Southwest area plan, and then there was also one about some highlights of the ADA transition plan public right of way. I don't know if you want to give any updates on those.
I would love it if you could help me out there a little bit. I mean, you're going to do it for us, right? We're going to be sharing. It's some of the same information that we'd already shared. It was the last meeting that we had of the ProWag, which was really good. There were a lot of people on the Transportation Commission who were very grateful for that information. And I think we kind of take it for granted sometimes. And that kind of made me see that.
The difference between the presentation that was given last night and the one that was shared with you all is we have now posted the ADA transition plan. And so I was able to share some very high-level highlights of the public right-of-way section of the plan and our findings. And I'll talk a little bit more about this in the Department of Civil Rights report, but I think it was good to have some dialogue with the Transportation Commission around their feedback, because the plan is open for public comment. And then for the planning process, I just want to give kind of kudos to the folks who did that planning because they did do some focus groups at Access to Independence and were really thoughtful about knowing that it is challenging to get a bunch of folks with disabilities in one space at one time because transportation has barriers for our community, but did the work to make sure that that happened so that folks were included in the process. So those were some highlights for me. I don't know if that reflects your experience, Lynn. And Lynn will now take your questions.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, give me your questions.
Commissioner Van der Meulen. You're muted.
Sorry, I'm on my phone. I wanted to state thank you. I was trying to get to that meeting and I couldn't get to it, so I appreciate the recap. Thank you.
All right, any questions? All right, we will move on to line item 88397, Madison Lakeway Liaison Report.
Melissa
Oops,
again.
yep.
So I missed the last interagency meeting that we had, but Mike was so kind as to just have an individual overview with me. There was a couple problematic places that I noticed that may have been challenging as far as accessibility goes, and I gave him my 2 cents. But July 21st, there will be a public virtual meeting rolling out like what the end conclusion and master plan is going to be. And how it was explained to me is there's like public comment will be taken into consideration, but there's a lot of things that have been finalized. So I'd really, really appreciate it if somebody else has some eyes on it and attends that virtual meeting. And if you see anything that may be problematic accessibility wise, please just contact me and let me know, and I will pass it along. And then that can be off the, oh, you got a question, Kathleen?
I do. I just was a little curious about, or I don't know, curious question, I know comments, because the last, and especially in light of now, there's going to be call for some comments, because the last time, which I have to admit was, I think, before our, either our last meeting or the meeting before, several things on the website doing the overview of the introduction for the design and things like that, the videos were not, again, not fully accessible. I noticed one didn't have, there had some voice, but no, there was no captions. There's no option to go. So if someone can't hear, they wouldn't be able to get anything. One of the videos had, I think, some pretty good audio description included. One of them didn't. So I guess I just would always, as you know, I always love to remind folks to, to try to make sure there's alternate ways, because I think, before I start spreading the word, like, oh, hey, here's going to be some updates. Let's start reviewing it. If the materials to review aren't fully accessible, I did notice though. I will just, since I made that comment, I did really appreciate the fact that the alt text was spot on for all the so I know that there's some concern there and there's awareness. I just would love to see more on the information to so we can all access it. Thank you.
Thank you for that. While I'm not quite sure what all that meant, I would like you to educate me sometime if you're willing. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Going once, going twice. Moving on.
All right. And you keep me on track. You just talked about what again? Because you've spoken so much. It's
Madison
not that I
Lakeway.
thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
You're,
We'll
yeah.
move on to line item 88398, Week Without Driving Liaison Report.
So I think Wendy is not here. I had a conflict and was not able to attend the meeting. Kathleen, are you able to update us?
Yes, I can. I did attend enroll for work. I guess I will also let folks know, just for full transparency, I did identify myself in this last meeting as also being a DRC, as a commissioner, just because I kind of also wanted to bring that voice there. So not to sort of take it on, but I just really feel it's important that we, the disability community, is represented. Just a few things. It's still very much in the works, but I just kind of want to let folks know of, I guess there would be three things I could think of off the top of my head. There'll be proclamations. We're going to be asking, and the group will be asking for both the state level, so the governor's proclamation, and then local municipalities. I don't think there's will be anything there, but just so folks know that those should be coming out. Two activities, and I will make sure to keep folks posted. There's a possible book discussion But then there's also hopefully going to be sort of a group, either a group ride or group alternate transportation to get to an event. So there is some potential there to kind of help encourage folks, maybe bring people together to utilize the BRT and biking and things like that. So really the important thing that I'd ask you all to kind of keep in the back of your mind or jot down is that the week without driving is that last week in September and sort of that I think dips its toe into October. So I believe it's September 28th. Just to kind of keep that in mind, so that way, you know, we can help lift up or amplify how great it is to have safe ways to get around that don't involve cars. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Commissioner Frost.
Hi. This kind of segues into a related topic, but also has some notes in this. Like, I've enjoyed in my power wheelchair getting around the city on the bike paths and that. But I was just wondering if the city might have like some maps where we would have recommended or accessible paths to illustrate, you know, like, well, the bike paths are great, you know, and I use them all the time. I'm going to illustrate, like, as a power wheelchair user who lived around Blair Street and Dayton Street for the longest time, like certain sidewalks around Gorham and that, you know, I would avoid because of the slopes, the hill, you know, and that. And I think, you know, and the handy thing to help get folks, you know, like enthused for the week without driving, you know, like giving some tips, some notes, and long term, even if, you know, like we could have a city map of good accessible routes. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. I'll make sure to make a note of that. That's a great example of some of the education components I think we could take advantage of for that week. So thank you.
Commissioner Olson, are you trying to unmute Lynn?
Yes, I would like to put a pin in what Joe, Commissioner Frost just said for later. I think that is worth a conversation and how this commission can be instrumental in making that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Mado.
Yeah, just like some clarification to what Lynn just said. Are you asking to have what Joe mentioned be put on a future agenda to talk about?
Well, it's my understanding we can't talk about things that we don't have on the agenda. So I wanted to put it on the agenda so we could talk about it.
Sorry,
Right?
I missed that through the cracks. I wasn't paying attention. I thought it was a follow-up question to Kathleen. Yeah.
It was, but it was Joe's suggestion triggered further thought that we could probably satisfy a need there.
10-4.
Is there a motion to on the floor?
I don't
Yes,
think we need a
yes, no.
motion.
What?
The pin has been put and noted.
Okay, thank you. All right. All right, any questions or any more pins?
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner Vandermeulen.
Just an activity that might be of interest to the committee. The Disability Pride flag is being raised for the first time ever, July 1st at 2 p.m. You are all invited to come.
At the Capitol?
It at the City County Building. I'm good. I'm not that good.
Thank you. All right, we will move on to line item 15340, report from the Department of Civil Rights. Rebecca.
Nikki's stealing my
Oh,
thunder.
yep. No.
This city of Madison is for the first time in its history raising the disability pride flag, which is pretty exciting. It's the 35th anniversary of the ADA next month. And so, yes, please do join us at 2:30 in front of the Madison Municipal Building. There are going to be incredible speakers, including Nikki Vandermeulen, who will be a part of the ceremony and press conference. Other wonderful disability Pride Month events. Every year the city sponsors Disability Pride Madison Festival, which will be July 26th at Warner Park from 12 to 5 p.m. It was such a big hit last year. We are really excited to host a pinata and an adaptive pinata again this year, which will follow the parade. And we'll also be supporting ASL interpretation at the stage. So I think for folks who want to get more connected with organizations and with members of the disability community, this is a great place to do that. The first year I moved to Madison, I made it a point to just like walk around every table and meet everybody. So I know we have some newer commissioners, so it's a great place to get looped in. Other exciting news. Yesterday, we posted the ADA transition plan, the long-awaited ADA transition plan. I'm just going to share my screen to show the website, but I'm going to be sending you all an email that is kind of a sample you can then forward and share within your networks to let folks know that it is posted, and to share our link for public comment. And which is here. Folks can also email, call, write letters. We've basically made it possible to submit comments in a number of different formats. The page is currently up in Spanish and Chinese as well. By morning tomorrow, we'll have our Hmong version also available. We will be doing announcements on our Spanish radio show, Hmong radio show, our Chinese WeChat channel. And we're really trying to reach lots of folks in the disability community who maybe have been traditionally not invited to comment on, city services. So that is our goal. And we're going to be hosting a series of public information sessions, on three consecutive Wednesdays in July. So the email I send you will have those registration links. They'll be kind of like bite-sized topics. So the first one is going to be July 9th and then July 16th and 23rd. So I know Jason Belangi is here. If it's okay, I'd love to share my time a little bit with Jason, who he and Access Independence were incredible partners in helping us with the public right-of-way section of the plan. So, Jason, if you want to share a little bit about what an exciting time this is for the city and our residents, I'd love to pass the mic to you.
Sure. Could you repeat the last part of what you said? You cut out for a second there on my end.
I said if you would let, I'd love to pass the mic to you if you want to share a little bit about this being an exciting time for the city and our residents and
Yeah.
your wonderful partner.
Thank you. We had I'm really glad this has come to fruition, and a big kudos to Rebecca and staff for really helping keep this process moving along. I think when we started to dive into it, there were so many pieces and things that we realized that we had to, address, discuss, figure out how to navigate forward. And so I know we're looking forward to co-presenting with city staff on the 16th to talk about the public rights of way section specifically that we worked on with city staff and others. And I think it's, nice to see where things are going well and identify where there's work to be done to improve access around the city and use that as a starting point for how the city can address those issues and really ensure that no matter who's trying to get around the city in whatever way that they get around the city, that they're able to do so seamlessly and equally as anybody else.
And Lynn, did you have a question? No. Okay.
No.
Nikki.
I like the seamlessness and the necessity of it. But just giving a warning to people, when requesting an accessible area, as you may have seen from my page yesterday, Capitol Police gave us an accessible area between two sets of stairs and referred to it as the accessible seating area. And so sometimes what we're listing as accessible isn't accessible to everyone. Is there a way we can somehow address what needs it's accessible for?
So I saw your photo. I will say we that is out the area you posted is
Yes.
outside of the city's
Yeah.
jurisdiction. But I'd be happy to walk over and, just talk with folks. We could talk offline.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know, but in general, just on the map, accessible for power wheelchairs, not accessible for power wheelchairs, like
Yeah.
stuff like that. If we could put that on things, would be incredibly helpful.
Absolutely. I totally get what you're saying. We are going to, the ADA transition plan is really about making the city of Madison as accessible as possible. I am hoping, though, that we can be a model, and so other entities, especially those around us in the immediate area, can follow our example. Brett.
And I just want to add real quick onto something that was just mentioned there. And sorry, Brett, I'll get to you one second. I just wanted to add one of the things that's really been promising about this process working with the city is a lot of times municipalities are looking at that minimum compliance mindset and certainly
Yeah.
have to address that when it comes to the city perspective. But there's an openness, like how can we do better and go beyond that minimum, which I really appreciate.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yep. So, just for clarification purposes, what is the ADA transition plan? Just in simplest forms, this is the first I'm hearing about it. And so
Yeah.
it kind of sounds as if it's a transition away from the ADA rather than to me, or it could be better worded as a expansion plan, in my opinion, from what I'm gathering, but that's why I'm looking for clarification.
It's a great question, Brett, and I think other folks in the room have seen my slide deck several times. So thank you for the reminder that we have newer folks who haven't had the pleasure of the repetition. So when the ADA passed in 1990, municipalities and other entities were given 3 years to develop a plan to transition from world before ADA to world that comes after the ADA law. So that's the transition. Now, in an ideal world, we would have gone from inaccessible cities to a plan that made everything fully compliant in the future after the ADA. I think we all know when we look around our communities that we haven't gotten to that place yet. So even though there isn't a legal requirement for cities to update and revitalize their transition plans, we as a city are committed to accessibility and creating a city that's usable for everyone. So we've revitalized our ADA transition plan and said, how do we get from this current state we're at to full compliance? Because we're not there yet, and most cities aren't there either. So does that answer your question?
Yes. So it's basically taking it and expanding on it a little bit more and
Yeah,
making it
it's
more.
kind of acknowledging we're still not fully implementing the ADA, and how do we plan to get there?
Okay.
Joe?
I had a thought that I had that sprung from something Nikki said is just for illustration, I think it'd be really nifty if the city for public buildings can indicate, like for example, entrances that are accessible, entrances that have door assists. I'm going to use the city county building to illustrate that. I know the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard side and the Wilson Street side have Dorisys and none of the other sides do, but the oh, I can't think of the back one over by the jail right now, that it is wheelchair accessible just without a door assist. So I think, if we can, work together and, even start with, city public buildings, just having online resources or resources available to label, like which entrances are, fully accessible or accessible.
Thank you, Joe. And please come to the facilities public session and share that comment as well. I did write it down, but I think it's good feedback for the plant. Alder Pritchett.
Yes, I was traveling a couple of years ago, and I can't remember exactly which city I was in, but they had they were using like decals in their doorways, and it had there was like a wheelchair, but the wheelchair was like going through the door, and so it was one way for them to indicate that their building or their facility was ADA accessible. And I thought it was a good thing. I've also seen here in the Madison area for individuals who are cognitively impaired, you'll see in the stick in the on the window on the door, it'll say Alzheimer's, no, dementia friendly is what the word says. And I think that would be a good thing for us to begin to at least address, making sure that people know. That I can get in this building and that it is, accessible.
Thank you. That's good feedback. I have a couple other updates, and I will be quick because I want to be mindful that we have another report. I do want to let folks know that we have an intern joining us for the summer. Her name is Arisha, and she'll be at our next meeting. I know you all have probably gotten an email from her. We're very excited to have her working with us this summer. And she'll be here next month to share about some of her projects, but I just wanted to give you a preview. She is working on developing a Meet the Commissioners page where folks can go and learn a little bit more about who is representing them in city government. I did get a question about, do I have to, include my photo? I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that. If that makes you uncomfortable and you would rather have a sassy glitter unicorn as your photo, I'm okay with that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That was my response to the question. but we do want to know, your bio and a little bit about you. And so if that is your spirit animal, I support it. Folks at the retreat also asked for something like a project planning document or something to kind of keep track of the history of our discussions at these meetings. And so Arisha is putting together a really cool table where we'll have topics and then a link to the meeting, and then the video will start where that topic begins the discussion. So, I don't know how far back in time she will get with the summer, but I think it will be a really good place to start. And she'll share that with you all at the next meeting. And then, one thing that came out of our home health care work group was that we were trying to identify city resources that we could kind of flag for eligibility categories for caregivers or for folks who receive care. And I think what we later found is that we have a lot of resources that are free or that caregivers would likely be eligible for just because of the nature of the income requirements, but they're like all over the place. They're hard to identify. And so our interns last summer started developing a low-income family resource guide. And Arisha is working to put that together and finalize it. And so it will have resources by topic, whether they be legal resources, housing resources, care resources. So it's kind of a one-stop place to go for resources that are free or available for folks with low income throughout the city. Alder Pritchett, was your hand up from before? Did you have another question? Okay. So looking forward to introducing you two for next month, and that's it for me.
Can I make one more comment about the last topic before we jump to the next part? There are several times throughout the city where I will go use a push button and to open a door, and the push button doesn't work. So then I have to somehow find a way to open the door and kind of push my wheelchair through it at the same time. So it just I just wanted to make that comment because it relates to the last topic that we're just talking about.
Yeah, and just because there's folks probably watching who may have that same experience, if that happens, please let the city know because other folks who are not using that button may not know that it's not working. So we do have a report a problem portal. We have facilities engineers and folks who can come out and fix it. We don't want things like that to be broken if it's a city building. So let us know so that we can make those repairs right away.
Okay.
Joe.
On to Brett's note, and maybe a forward thinking solution we can have too is if we could have a call number per building, like I, as a employee at the city county building, would often just call my department or call the city clerk sometimes, if I got stuck somewhere. But yeah, I think it might be nice for public consumption if they're were a designated call number per building that, whether it's facilities at the city county building or such, that could just come, and given like a few minutes, come to the door and help with that assist if that's the case.
I'm sure we have one. And while Nakaya is giving her report, I'm going to look it up for you all.
Thanks.
Oh, well, this will be quick. How about that one? And then we'll circle back. Line item 24056, report from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Humanitarian Award Commission. We didn't meet. I emailed Michaelin about it. I didn't recall. I didn't get the Zoom link. And so I'm just waiting to see. And I do know I've kind of attended. This would be like my third or fourth one since I took it on, and we weren't able to make quorum for the ones that I had the link to. And so my hope is to get some support. Yeah, Rebecca and Michaelin and Giselle. Look, it's the whole team. I know Michaelin's not on here, but she's the one who kind of handles that those Zoom links and agendas. Any questions? I have reserved my Monday night. I believe it's the third Monday night of the month, so that hasn't changed. So I'm still fully on board. Alder Pritchett, is your hand still up from a previous question? Cool. All good. No worries. On that note, the time is 6:11. Rebecca is looking for things, and we got
Got
time.
it, I got it. Okay.
I want to say, look at the time that we made, though. Like we got through like some heavy new business. Yeah. All right.
Right. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Ready for
If you're
the
going to send
best?
an email, you can send it to engineering@cityofmadison.com. And the phone number, 608 266 4751. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they're responsible for all of the city facilities.
Oh. Could you
Absolutely.
repeat that number again?
608 266 4751.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, any more
Can you email
questions?
that up
Wonderful.
and email that out in an update as well? Then I don't have to.
worry about losing it.
Yeah, if I can share, I've been using that as a disability life hack with certain businesses, like around the city, to just give them a call, and ask somebody to come open the door for me. I mean, I think that might be an interesting beyond compliance suggestion too, if businesses, could post, like a good contact on their websites, like to help facilitate that.
Back to you, Chair.
All right. I believe we have handled all of our business. Is there a motion to adjourn?
This is Kathleen. I move that we adjourn.
I'll
A
second.
second.
All in favor, none opposed. Yes. All
The
in
next
favor. All right. I will.
aye. The next meeting
Aye.
is when